Discover the wonders of the universe's design. In Islam and science, where faith and reason align.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you once again in our fascinating series Islam and Science, a series of program in which we discuss about Islam and science, as of course it's obvious from the title of it, where we discuss both in the light of one another. We talk about Islamic perspective regarding many scientific facts which have been explored in the recent past, which have been already mentioned in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than 1400 years ago. And by going into them, by delving into them, it strengthens our faith further. It leaves the intellect of the iman in awe. It completely astounds our wisdom, our intellect, in terms of believing in the majesty and grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and concluding the fact that it can only be the Creator Almighty who can bring forth such facts before the mankind, which such advanced science is bringing forth after so many technological advancements. And as mentioned earlier, it strengthens our iman further, alhamdulillah, in the majesty, in the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Islam, in the Quran. And at the same time, dear viewers, it also gives us a wonderful message of delving into the Quran, into the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah Almighty has mentioned for the mankind, to delve into them, to reflect upon them and understand the message which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given for the mankind. Today, again, dear viewers, we brought a wonderful topic for you, which is on the topic of embryology, the human developmental process. So there are certain phases of the development of a human which takes place, and it has been mentioned in the Quran step by step. And alhamdulillah, we've covered a few steps up until now. And now we will continue our journey further in this beautiful, awe-inspiring and fascinating, astounding topic of embryology. But before that, dear viewers, please make some good intentions, as the more good intentions we make, the more reward we will reap, inshallah azza wa jal. As always, alhamdulillah, we have our brother Rizwan Rashid Attari with us, who will be talking through today's episode again and taking us through this beautiful journey of this wonderful topic of embryology. So Rizwan, we jazakallah for joining us once again today. May Allah bless you, may Allah reward you immensely. And up until now, Rizwan, in our previous few episodes, we've been covering the topic of embryology, where we've spoken about the first initial steps of the human developmental process. And today, of course, we will continue our discussion further. And in our last episode, we covered the stage of alaqa. And you beautifully mentioned the interpretation of this very term from a linguistic perspective, as well as from the perspective of characteristics, that how beautifully it fits into both of these perspectives. Now, as we continue our discussion further, the embryo, after taking after alaqa, the next stage, what it forms into is the mudgha stage. And in the Quran it mentions فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُدْغَةَ. So this is the element that we will cover, which translates as, then we made the congealed blood into a lump of flesh. So from congealed blood, now we're moving on to the lump of flesh. So this is up to where we've reached so far. So all over to you. We will, inshallah, further strengthen our faith as well, enlighten ourselves in the light of this verse. Ji.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. Starting from the hamd and salat. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala shower countless blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and give us the hidayat, further understanding of Quran and Hadith. This is the prayer we make. I think for the viewers who have joined us today, maybe for them, a little bit of recap what we have covered so far, mashallah, as you've done. I would like to just go through slightly and shortly, inshallah. And then, inshallah, we'll take it to the next stage that we are going to cover in this program, inshallah. So, for those viewers, as you have just explained, that we are talking about the human development process, right? And the embryo's development. Now, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran, these are in different stages. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran, the verse which we have been discussing in the past few episodes. I would like to just read before the audience, viewers of Madani Channel who are watching right now. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse number 13 and 14. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Thumma ja'alnahu nutfatan fi qararin makin. ثم خلقنا النطفة علقة فخلقنا العلقة مضغة فخلقنا المضغة عظاما فكسونا العظام لحما ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. Translation: then made him a drop of fluid in a strong resting place. This is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is talking about the nutfa, right? Drop of fluid. So we have already covered
the first stage.
The first stage. And the resting, strong resting place is the womb of the mother. So this is the first stage. And then ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَ. Then we made the droplet into congealed blood. And then فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةَ. So then we made the congealed blood into a lump of flesh. And then further it is said فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٌ. We made the lump of flesh into bones, then we covered the bones with flesh, and then we made him a different form. Fatabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. So Allah is the possessor of infinite blessings, the best creator. Now in this verse of the Holy Quran which we've been discussing, just to give a bit of summary to the viewers who have joined us today, the first stage Quran in this verse in Surah Al-Mu'minun 13 and 14 is talking about the first stage, which is nutfa, like fluid, the drop of a fluid, sperm, and then a drop of a sperm. Then Quran has also mentioned that both male and female are responsible for the reproduction. And then the word nutfatin amshaj, it is also mentioned in the Holy Quran, which is drop of a mixed sperm. Okay, so this is another discussion we've done in our previous program, right? What was believed before, and then how Quran has, subhanAllah, clarified, and later science discovered this was the exactly viewpoint which is now the science holds. And 1400 years ago, Quran had discussed this, subhanAllah. And then the second stage, what we discussed was alaqa, stage alaqa. So in that, we had discussed three different meanings, like from the dictionary of the Arabic dictionaries, what we find, they were the attached and hanging to something. Okay, alaqa is known as something. And blood clot, it is also as an end of the meaning we discussed. And then leech. So in all these different meanings, we discussed in detail in the last program. If viewers, they would like to watch that, they can always go to Dawat Islami's website, and hopefully, and inshallah, they'll be able to find these programs over on the social media accounts of Madani Channel English also. So they can go through in detail. So we discussed all these meanings. They were fitting exactly what the science has established in this day and age from the microscope, how the embryo looked like, looks like, and how Quran had discussed this meaning in comprehensive, subhanAllah, context, how this was explained And this is what we have discussed so far.
The most, now, one of the most fascinating aspect in that that description which you mentioned was also, you know, I would reiterate that not only it fitted the linguistic meanings, but also characteristics as well. And that's amazing. That's that's unbelievable. That is something which, you know, the layman cannot perceive or understand without believing the fact that it can only be the Creator Almighty who can mention such fine details at such an age, at such a time when there are no such advancements existed.
Yeah, absolutely right. This is what we're trying to establish, the fact that this Quran is not a man-made book. Okay, this is the divine book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something which has been revealed upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And you know, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is known to be a ummi nabi, right? So the right translation of this word ummi, which suits best to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is the one who has not been educated by any other person on the face of this earth.
The unschooled, the one who's not been
schooled by somebody.
The unschooled one.
Yeah. Right, but in this dunya, nobody taught Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, or Rasulullah was not a student of anyone.
The reason was not taught by the Creator.
Yeah,
by the creation.
Sorry. Creation, right? So this was the ulama, they have explained this, that the reason why it was because if Rasulullah alayhi sallallahu salam was taught by somebody, right, that ustaz, that teacher would have been more in status, right? Because as the teacher, in knowledge also is better superior. Than superior, and then again in status also. But this was not possible, right? Allahu Akbar. So Ar-Rahman 'allama al-Qur'an. It is the Rahman who taught the Quran, who gave the knowledge to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If there is one teacher of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, in other words, if you can say, then it is the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He himself taught Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. And this also proves the fact that in this, in the dunya, Rasulullah alaihi salatu wasalam had not learned the knowledge, whatever was available then. But interesting fact is, this scientific knowledge was not available at that very moment. Indeed. Science had not discovered all this. Indeed. So how come Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam write something from his own, astaghfirullah, as some said in the past, or they say. But this is what we're trying to explain. This is the divine book of Allah.
Subhanallah, as you mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ was not taught by the creation, but the Creator himself. At the same time, some so-called philosophers, they even tried to, ma'adallah, allege that the Prophet ﷺ, what Prophet ﷺ mentioned was were some theories of the past. But then the latest science, they falsified, they refuted those very theories which the Prophet ﷺ was falsely attributed to us, that the Prophet ﷺ, ma'adallah, copied, astaghfirullah, those theories of the past eras. The science refuted even those theories. But what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, which was the words of the Quran, which the Quran explains, subhanallah, the science beautifully establishes that that is the truth. Now it is one way we're talking about the embryo at the age of 24, 25 days.
I'm coming towards that. So first of all, the point which should be addressed and understood, that the book of Quran is the divine book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to believe this.
Indeed.
Through these facts, what we have been discussing in past three episodes. And today, inshallah, when we further dwell deep into this, inshallah, discussion, then we'll understand. The third stage which Quran has talked about is mudgha stage. Now, what is the meaning of mudgha? Mudgha, one of the meanings in the dictionaries when you go and you find is that something that is chewed by teeth.
Right.
Right. Now, we have to look this into, for our understanding this point, we have to note, this is a notable point, that something that is chewed by the teeth. Now, this is what is the meaning of mudgha. So, Quran has described this stage of embryo development as mudgha. From nutfa to alaqa, from alaqa to mudgha. Now, mudgha stage is, from the dictionary we find the meaning is something that is chewed by the teeth. Now, when we look at the from the microscope, how does the embryo look like after 24 and 25 days of the age? It was the stage of alaqa, then it completely changes into
ending
next
days of the ending stage of alaqa
and then initial stages of mudghah, and that is the 26 and 27 days. Right, when the embryo starts looking like a mudghah, which Quran describes it as
transforming from alaqa
to mudghah. Now, if you look at this days, it changes into mudghah stage. As we said, the transformation from alaqa to mudghah is in fact very rapid.
Mm.
And during the last day of the two of the alaqa stage, the embryo is beginning to develop some of the characteristics of the mudghah. And the somatize begin to appear and become a distinct feature in this stage,
right?
At that very stage. One of the meaning, as we heard, which is chewed by the teeth,
mm-hmm.
right? If one were to take a piece of gum
mm-hmm.
and chew it in his or her mouth, then compare it with the embryo at the mudghah stage, it's very interesting fact. Mm-hmm. We would conclude that the embryo at the mudghah stage acquires the appearance of chewed substance.
Subhanallah.
Now, we've got some pictures also which are in front of us, right? Vaseem Abbas, we look at this very picture, which is a gum, which is a chewed gum,
right?
Right. I'm not sure if the camera would be able to show this, but this is a shape of a chewed gum. So the teeth are, the marks of the teeth are apparent on this. Okay, and that's how this looks like. And when you look at the mudghah stage, the embryo looks like the same as a chewed gum.
It resembles the appearance of a chewed gum.
And exactly the meaning of the mudghah.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. And this is what is a very, very fascinating and interesting fact what we understand. This is because of the somatize at the back of the embryo that somewhat resemble teeth marks in the chewed substance. So this is what we find in the stage of mudghah. So this is what we can also see. How does the embryo look like? Now, if you look at the backside of the embryo, so you could see it, they're resembling like the marks of the teeth. Like something has been chewed, okay? And this is the chewing gum, a gum, right, which is being chewed, and they have just they're showing the two diagrams.
And this appearance of embryo wasn't at the alaqa stage.
No,
it came at the mudghah stage.
Mudghah stage. This is another interesting thing. Now the appearance of this, it changes continuously, just as the teeth imprints changes on a chewed substance with each act of chewing. Now, embryo changes its overall shape, but the structure derived from the somatize remain, just as a substance acquires wrinkles, swellings, and wrinkled surface as it is being chewed. Now, if you look at this interesting fact that the shape of the embryo in this picture, there are some sort of wrinkles, right? Teeth marks, right? And this shape comes right at this stage. So when you chew some gum also, there are also wrinkles on that. Allahu Akbar. Kind of third. Now, this is what we see in this very stage. Subhanallah. And Allahu Akbar. And then further it is mentioned, the embryo turns in its position due to modifications in its center of gravity, right, with new tissues formation, similar to the turning of a substance with chewing. And that's what it happens with the substance which is chewed also takes that kind of shape. So subhanallah, this is what we understand from this very interesting fact that Quran mentioned this stage of human development as mudghah. Its meaning is something which is chewed by teeth. And subhanallah, when you look at the microscope, the visual aid through the microscope, subhanallah, then you understand that how beautifully that fits into the exact meaning of the word mudghah. And this is what subhanallah we find. There is further detail also, Masir Basri, for the viewers.
Please.
Right? Now, the embryo looks somewhat like a chewed lump.
Right.
Right? The chewed appearance results from the somatize, which resembles teeth marks. The somatize, they represent the beginnings, right, of the vertebrae. By the third week of human embryonic development, about 38 pairs of somatized form. By the fifth week, there are 42 to 44 pairs of somatized. Most the skeleton, right, and the muscles will be derived from these somatized. So then this will be the next stage, which we, inshallah, we will be covering in our next program, where we will discuss the how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala formed the bones, which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has discussed after the stage, right? Subhanallah. And now the further muscles, skeleton, bones, then they are formed. So the complete human developmental process that has been mentioned in the Quran 1400 years ago by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through wahi, through revelation in the Holy Quran, and Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned. Now, this is very, very interesting fact to note. This was not possible. Now, there is a scientist who was explaining this. Now, he says that as there were no microscopes available in the 17th century, right, people would not have known that the human embryo had this chewed-like appearance. This was not possible. Because there was not there wasn't any invention of microscope by then. Now, Professor Marshall Johnson states, now this is the professor, he says, you have to be really, I would like to quote the words exactly, okay, you have to be really careful on what is the definition of seeing. Okay? I can see a piece of dandruff on this table top. I can just barely make it out because this is a nice black surface. So that's very crystal clear to me. Gee. Okay, on a black surface, a blend of white can easily be noticeable and seen. I can see no detail in it. If I want to see detail in it, then I need some sort of visual aid. Something to aid my vision. This is what the professor is explaining. I need a magnifying glass. I need a microscope. So I might be able to see a piece of dandruff, but to see any detail in it, as is described in the Quran, I need an instrument that was not developed until the 1700s. Allahu Akbar. Now, this is what the professor is saying. Now, a dandruff, okay, is very, very small, but still it can be seen. Mm-hmm. But look at the cells and then human developmental process. You need microscope to look at those details. They were not invented. Indeed. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now, how come is it possible that Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam had written the Quran himself, ma'adallah, as some say? Okay, and this is what we are trying to refute their position, what they're saying. And we have to believe that Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam was told by the Creator who had created. And this is the only thing what we can believe. And this proves the haq of Quran. Mm-hmm. This proves the truth of the religion of Deen Islam. Mm-hmm. This proves the Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's existence. This proves Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the final messenger of Allah. And this proves Quran being the final divine book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Rizwan beautifully explained, and also at the same time we also established that those individuals who were in that era, in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, well, every time is of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but in that very era in which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam physically blessed this earth, so how advanced they were in terms of technology, in terms of those people who were with them, that because they believed in the Quran, every single word of the Quran, so how well ahead of time they were, that it took science approximately 1400 years to reach to not invent something new, but to say, yes, what's stated in the Quran is haq, and this is exactly how this process is developed. So it also summarizes the entire discussion in this one point, you can say, that every advancement, every technological progress, every every victory, in other words, if you want to attain, is in following the Quran and understanding the Quran.
Our intellect could not have reached to that level. Okay, we cannot comprehend certain information, certain things. We human has not able to, you see, reach to that destination yet.
Indeed.
But Quran, alhamdulillah, is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and has explained haq. And this is what وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ.
Subhanallah.
This is the quality of believers which is mentioned, that they bring faith upon the ghaib, the unseen.
Subhanallah.
Okay, whatever Rasulullah told us, we believe it.
Subhanallah.
Whether we understand through science or not.
Subhanallah.
Whatever in Quran, that is true.
Subhanallah.
This is what we need to believe.
Subhanallah. Dear viewers, beautiful discussion is going on. And on the same note, we also establish the fact that Islam is not in need of sciences certification. In fact, science is in need of Islam. Alhamdulillah, many facts that Islam, that science explored 1400 years later through modern advancements, they were already disclosed in the Quran at the time when no one could delve into it and understand it. So alhamdulillah, we established this beautifully. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani channel, we've just completed our first segment where we discussed about the human developmental process. Now, dear viewers, it is time for our second segment of our program, which is Islam and Medical Science. Let's go towards our segment number two, Islam and Medical Science. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
In Islam and science, where faith and reason align.
What does vitamin D do? Vitamin D is formed in the skin of us human beings under the influence of ultraviolet rays in the sunshine. There's a hormone called calcitriol, which is derived from vitamin D, and calcitriol stimulates the absorption of calcium and phosphorus from the intestine, which are also the key element for the formation of strong bones. The deficiency or the disease of defective mineralization is called rickets in children. The bones are soft, they get deformed, and the leg gets bowed. And if it happens in adults, the softening of the bones condition is called osteomalacia. How can we prevent this condition? So the prevention is obviously there should be enough availability of vitamin D. Surprisingly, all you need is 15 to 30 minutes of sunshine every day around midday to have enough vitamin D to do its function properly. However, if they are deficient, if there is a deficiency in sunshine, then one can take the supplements or the foods rich in vitamin D, such as oily fish and eggs, and obviously meat. Our Holy Prophet ﷺ liked meat. So subhanAllah, you can see all you need is about half an hour of sunshine every day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided these ultraviolet rays, which can convert the dehydrocholesterol in our skin to be converted into vitamin D. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Dear viewers, we just heard about the importance of vitamin D. There's one way, vitamin D, we just heard about how important it is for our body and how detrimental it can be if there's deficiency of vitamin D in the body. How would you shed light on it in the light of what we've just heard and how important it is for our body?
As far as the importance is concerned, I think the medical professional, the doctor himself has explained very well, mashallah, Dr. Usman was talking about it. And one thing I would like to just, in terms of Islamic perspective, I would like to shed light on this. And I would like to just let viewers think, what is this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is called sunlight?
Right?
Allahu Akbar. And this is itself a blessing of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is said that the body creates vitamin D from direct sunlight on the skin when we are outdoor. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created the system in our body that when we are have the exposure to the sunlight, it starts creating required amount of vitamin D,
subhanallah
itself.
Subhanallah.
And this is the creation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and how important it is for us, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows. And then when we go outdoor, and then subhanallah. And then again, look at this, another interesting fact, that there are certain countries where they've got less exposure to sun.
Okay?
There's less sunlight. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has kept vitamin D in some foods,
subhanallah.
Right? So that people, if they cannot get that from the sunlight, they can take it from the foods.
Subhanallah.
Okay? And this is another interesting fact, subhanallah. And Allah, He is the creator, He knows that.
Indeed.
Okay, where and how this has to be given. If we look at this, that some sources which include vitamin D for the viewers of Madinchen, if they can increase their knowledge also. And then inshallah, also Dr. he also mentioned them, that oily fish we can include in our diet, right? Such as salmon, and then sardines, and then we've got red meat. This is also, it has the vitamin D in it. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam also liked the goat meat. Right?
Subhanallah.
And we should also eat in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then further, if we look at the liver, right? If we also take, and then egg yolks,
subhanallah,
they are also, they also have the vitamin D. So if we also eat eggs, okay, so inshallah, this will fulfill the requirement of vitamin D in our body. Okay, this is also, and then we should further understand that if it is possible for us to have some sort of exposure out in the sunlight, we should do that. Right? We should not be confined indoors. And if you look at the concept of Islam, that it encourages us to go out and pray in the masjid, walk to the masjid.
Subhanallah.
This is again, we're going out from the masjid, and then we're walking to the masjid. It requires another exercise also. So these are the blessings of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has kept them for us, free of cost. Nowadays, supplements are sold out in the market for the vitamin D. Okay, but I would like to suggest to the viewers of Madinchen, if you would like to take supplements, it's always a good idea to ask from any professional doctor and take their advice before taking. How much should you take? When should you take? Okay, there are certain months when there is less sun exposure, and then months if you would like to take some supplements, but then you need to know what is the required amount you have to take. You cannot exceed that amount also. So it's always a good idea to seek advice from a doctor and then do that. But again, look, this is free vitamin D.
Indeed.
Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is provided. We don't have to spend money on it. Otherwise, we have to go in the market and pay some money to get this blessing, okay, to buy this blessing, but it is free of cost for us.
And even the foods which you've mentioned, Rizwan, it's always advisable to consult with your doctor before having this specific diet. And vitamin D is very important for healthy bones, for teeth, and for the immune system of the body, which saves you from many harmful bacteria and many other things. And those people, who spend a lot of time indoors, who have darker skin tones, who have milk allergies, or who are lactose intolerant, people who live in areas where they do not get a lot of sun, breastfed infants, children under the age of 5, and pregnant and breastfeeding women. These categories of people should specially look into their required quantity of vitamin D, as it is very, very necessary and important for them to ensure that they have sufficient supply of vitamin D in their body. With this, dear viewers, alhamdulillah, we've covered regarding vitamin D as well, that how important it is for our body, for the strength, for the energy of our body, for the strength of our bones, teeth, and many other facts, for our immune system. This is very, very important. And the category which we've mentioned, if you fall into any of that category, then in particular, you should take care of your vitamin D levels, that you should make sure that you have enough of it. If not, then the means that mashallah Rizwan bhai has also mentioned, through any of those means, try to fulfill your required amount of vitamin D. But before taking on to any diet, any food, please do consult with your doctor first. On this note, dear viewers, this was the end of our segment number 2. Now let's move on to our segment number 3 of the program, which is Signs for Believers. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
In Islam and science, where faith and reason align. blind.
Dear viewers, in this segment of ours, we pick up one verse of the Quran, and in light of it, we look at the wonderful signs, the wondrous signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and see what message there is for us in that very verse.
وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ آيَةَ مُلْكِهِ أَن يَأْتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتُ فِيهِ سَكِينَةٌ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ وَبَقِيَّةٌ مِّمَّا تَرَكَ آلُ مُوسَى وَآلُ هَارُونَ تَحْمِلُهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ.
Translation from Kanzul Irfan. And their prophet said to them, "The sign of his kingdom is this, that there shall come to you the chest in which there is the satisfaction of hearts from your Lord and the remaining items of what was left by the Honorable Musa and the Honorable Harun, carried by angels. Indeed, in this there is a great sign for you if you are people of faith." Dear viewers, this was verse number 248 of Surah Baqarah. And in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned another beautiful sign for the people of faith of that very time. There's one way, when we talk about the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's signs for everyone. There's signs for believers. And this very verse talks about one very specific sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought forward for the people of Bani Israel of that time. So the people who were the people of faith, the believers at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this verse regarding the sacred chest, Tabute Sakina, which served as a sign for them. So the contextual background of this was that during that time, how it worked was that prophethood would be given in one family of Bani Israel, and the kingdom, kingship would be in another family of Bani Israel. Now, Sayyidina Shamwil alayhi salam, Prophet Shamwil alayhi salam was the prophet of the time. And now Prophet Shamwil alayhi salam, he chose Talut as the king of Bani Israel. Okay. Now, Talut was a poor person, but knowledgeable.
Okay.
And Bani Israel, they objected to this because their concept was someone wealthy, someone with big honor and status, he would be a king.
Okay.
So they objected to Prophet Shamwil alayhi salam, and they asked for a sign for them to accept Talut as the king. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse where Allah Almighty mentioned that the sign for them would be Tabute Sakina would be brought back to them. Now at this time, what had happened was Tabute Sakina had been taken away from Bani Israel. What was Tabute Sakina? It was a sacred chest in which there were sacred
a sacred box
in which there were sacred relics of the prophets. There were the blessed sandals of Musa alayhi salam. There was blessed staff, the imama, Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam, and other sacred relics of the prophets were in Tabute Sakina. And that sacred box, Bani Israel would put in front of them, and they would gain victory in every expedition, and they would gain success in whatever they would do. And they had this belief that for the sake of this box, they're attaining all these blessings. Now the Amalika tribe, they invaded them, desecrated their dwellings, their towns, and they took Tabute Sakina away from them. And ma'adallah, the Amalika tribe, they disrespected it. They threw
it.
They
didn't know the words of it.
They ma'adallah put it in the place of garbage. Oh. And because of this, they fell prey to diseases. Now they knew that this is happening to them because of this. So what they did was they placed Tabute Sakina on a bullock cart, and the angels sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drove that cart towards the towns of Bani Israel. Now at the time when Bani Israel were asking Sayyidina Shamwil alayhi salam for a proof to accept Talut as the king, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Tabute Sakina to them as a proof for them to accept Talut as the king. So when this sign, which Allah is talking about in this verse, when this sign in the form of Tabute Sakina came to them, now they accepted Talut as the king. He was appointed as the king, and then he went to the expedition against Jalut, who was the tyrant king, and in this army was also Prophet Dawud alayhi salam. Dawud alayhi salam was also in this army, and then they went for this expedition, and the entire account then takes place afterwards. And Dawud alayhi salam was the one who kills Jalut, and he becomes the king, and then Dawud alayhi salam attained prophethood and kingdom. So this was the beautiful sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also teaches us that what blessings they are in the sacred relics of the chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sacred chest, the sacred box, what did it have? The sacred relics of the prophets. So similarly, in today's day and age, whenever we are blessed with having any sacred relics of the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we are in the proximity of those sacred relics, or in the shrine of the sacred people, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, their mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that descends there, we should make du'as over there, and it should be a routine of our life that we should visit such places and gain and reap the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolutely right. Ask me, if there is one brick which is in my house, it will not hold that significance. But if that same brick which has been made from the same place, but that is fixed in a masjid.
Allah.
So that nisbat of masjid makes that something sacred, something special. And this is called connection. This is called nisbat. This is something, subhanAllah. And again, look at the Sayyidina Yusuf al-Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, his qamis, when it was sent,
subhanAllah, Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam,
to the father. And then that qamis was touched to regain the sight. Right, both of them are Anbiya, Nabi, but this was important to show that the significance of this nisbat, Allahu Akbar, and so that people like us can understand what it holds, the connections, what is the importance, what is the worth of this nisbat. Okay, and subhanAllah, this is from Quran. It's not something from any books we're talking about.
Indeed.
And again, we're talking from Quran.
Indeed.
The Sabut al-Sakina itself is one of the very important proofs regarding tabarrukat, regarding gaining barakah and blessing through the relics, holy relics. But there are some people, they don't have this understanding, but for them, they should learn from Quran. And they can understand.
Although this verse explains a sign for the people of faith of that time, but it has beautiful lessons for us and all the believers until the day of judgment. Dear viewers, now let's move on to our final segment of the program, segment number 4, which is value health before illness. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
In Islam and science where faith and reason align.
Dear viewers, today the illness that we've chosen to discuss is a very severe illness. Again, something that becomes a cause of death for many people, something that is spreading like wildfire in our society. The disease that we know as heart attack is one way. Very severe disease, and which is fatal, and unfortunately spreading quite rapidly in our society. And it is stated as one way that one person in the world dies almost every 40 seconds due to heart attack. Every 40 seconds, according to statistics. And 60% people die of heart attack during sleep, and 50% heart attack patients die before even reaching hospitals.
I would like to just stop here. 60% of the people, they die during
their sleep.
Now, how much important this is for us as a believer?
Allah.
In the court of Allah subhanahu
wa ta'ala.
But we never know that 60% of the people, they are dying during their sleep due to heart attack. So it could be one of us. We would not wake up next morning. Suspectables of Manimishan, this program is not only about the facts and fascinating information for you, but this is something to reflect upon our hereafter.
Indeed.
To ponder the fact that why we have been created for, what is the purpose of our being,
indeed,
and what should we prepare for. And these facts and information, when we read, then I think we should ponder the fact that it could be us also. And slept and we couldn't wake up.
Also, it is only the way our lives have become today. The daily routine has become today. Many people are prone to cardiac arrest, to heart diseases. Now, what is it? What happens is that due to fatty foods and due to unbalanced diet, now what happens? The blood thickens. And when the blood thickens, then
blocks the arteries.
It blocks the arteries, and because of our organs, they need certain amount of blood to be circulated in them. But when the blood thickens, the required amount of blood is not pumped into those very organs, and which eventually results in dysfunctioning of the heart, because it pumps blood into rest of the organs. And when that happens, ultimately the organs would collapse, because they will not receive the flow of the blood that they require, and the heart will not function accordingly. The arteries would get blocked, and eventually the person will face a heart attack. So it is very, very important for us to first of all understand the symptoms of heart attack, the causes of heart attack, and then to remedy it. So it is stated that if we find breathing difficulties, chest pain, unconsciousness, shortness of breath when climbing stairs, nervousness, cold sweat, or severe tiredness, etc. These are the symptoms of heart attack. And then, of course, the causes that we mentioned are the fatty foods and the unbalanced diet that we have nowadays. So, dear viewers, we should try to look after our health. We should try to adopt a moderate diet, a diet that is healthy diet that is suitable for our body, something that would bring more energy to us rather than making the heart dysfunctional and ultimately making our body fall prey to these kind of fatal diseases. So, dear viewers, this was our final segment for the day, and this was our episode for today. Inshallah, next week we will come again with another fascinating episode where we will continue our discussion on the topic of embryology, where we will talk about the next stage of the human developmental process. We will bring another beautiful message from a medical professional for you. We will bring another beautiful sign for believers for you. And we will talk about another health-related issue for you, so that we can also ponder upon the signs, the wonders, the majesty and grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Discover the wondrous of the universe's design. In Islam and science, where faith and reason align.